event like we landed on the moon. Nothing been the same since. None of the limelight shine bright. We're in our prime, had the time of our life.
We own the night. Yeah. Hear us screaming louder. Can you see?
Because it'll be a shorter episode because there's been some big news regarding Impact Wrestling this week with the appearance of AEW World Champion Kenny Omega recently on it. So we're going to talk about that. And I thought, given that you'll be hearing this on Saturday where Final Resolution will be happening, so we thought we'll do a little preview for Final Resolution and we'll do our next episode of Main Impact probably early January before Hard to Kill. We'll be looking back at everything that happened at Final Resolution, any developments regarding Kenny Omega and the relationship with AEW, and basically that will be a preview then of Hard to Kill, because by then, hopefully some big things will be happening by Hard to Kill with the, well, by then we'll probably know the finalists for the Knockouts Tag Tournament, but...
Yeah, who are you thinking will be the finalists?
I want Kiera. I think on one side, Havok and Nevaeh are definitely going to be in it. But the second half, I think, comes down to Kiera and Hogan versus Rosemary and Taya. And
see, I'm kind of torn on that one because as much as I appreciate Kiera, Hogan and Tasha Steele's in-ring work,
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily appreciate their characters so much.
Yeah,
On the other side of the coin, I really appreciate Taya and Rosemary's characters, but at times the ring work can be a little... You know, a little slow.
I think it'd be a bigger match against Rosemary, and because like you got three out of the four or former Knockouts champions, and so it would be like a big deal. Although saying that, I do think it will be Havok, Tasha Steele's and that they go through, because I think they've got history with Havok and Nevaeh. But saying that, I say about Havok and Nevaeh going through, I mean they're going to face Jazz and Jordan Grace, so I actually think you never know, they could pull it out of the bag, have Grace and Jazz go all the way, like Taya and having Taya and Rosemary versus Jazz and Jordan Grace, that's a money making match.
That'd be a power match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd even argue
also,
a match like
sorry to cut you off there, but also quickly on a very brief somber moment,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to say an RIP to Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Listo.
Yeah, it's been a weird one because obviously you got him passing away today at time recording, and then we had a few earlier this week. We had Pat Patterson, or sorry, last week we had Pat Patterson passing away.
Yeah.
You
Do you know what? I never knew that Zeus was the president in the Fifth Element.
Well, I wouldn't know that either because I've never seen it.
Yeah. You've never seen the Fifth Element, no?
No, I'm pretty sure I mentioned before and you gave me shit for it.
No, I gave you shit for not seeing Bulletproof Monk, I believe, but if I gave you shit for that too, I do apologise.
You tend to give me shit for a lot of things when I've not seen a film that you like.
I do apologise, man.
But going back to Impact, I was going to say a match with Jordan Grace and Jazz versus if it was against Taya and Rosemary, I know it won't, but part of me would argue that that's a match worth main eventing Hard to Kill. Given,
because
they're not the prestige of the new Knockouts tag belts, given that they're in the main event, but obviously it'll probably be Moose versus Rich Swann come Hard to Kill, and that'll probably main event. But
so, do you believe that Swann will retain against Chris Balin?
I do think Chris Bay is definitely a future world champion, and I think he's with Impact for the long haul for now, but I don't think yet.
So, what's your opinion in regards to Rohit?
Who do you mean?
Well, do you think he'll lose his title at Hard to Kill?
Well, it depends who he faces at Final Resolution, because obviously he's got one of these defeat Rohit challenges, so it's hard to predict who's a good...
I do apologise, I meant Final Resolution. Apologies.
Well, we'll not go in too much into Final Resolution just yet, because we've got other stuff I want to mention before then, but... On a brief side note, we should mention we talked about the Rascals in our last episode, and it's recently came out. There was a photo released of the latest batch of Performance Center signings, all with their PC t-shirts on. We had two out of three of the Rascals. In that photo we had Wentz and Dez were there, but there was no sign of Trey Miguel as part of the new recruits.
Interesting that, though. Like, off of being main eventers on Impact to going to the WWE Performance Center.
Well, I think that's where everybody goes when they sign with NXT.
I just think right away they've taken a downstep, you know.
Well, I've heard a lot of people claim that they felt Rascals were underutilising their time in Impact, and I think I made like similar arguments when like they were kind of ousted from the... Well, they were like feuding with like Moses and Machine Guns Eric some seconds with them for a couple of weeks, and then bloody, they weren't even part of the four-way Bound for Glory. They were relegated to the pre-show.
I suppose
they
could have been used better, but still...
Yeah, because like, they never actually held the tag belts, did they, while they were there?
No. Which is surprising considering how awesome their in-ring work was.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, you've got quite a lot of some good tag teams in NXT, and so that I really want to see Dez and Wentz like mix it up with. You know, it'll be interesting to see how their characters come across, because like, you know, they kind of had this like stoner vibe to them as part of their gimmick.
Yeah.
And Matt Riddle has maintained some of his like stoner tendencies, because that's what he is in real life. So I'm wondering if they're going to have like elements of that, but kind of like present it differently, because it's WWE.
It's not hard to tell that about Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Not hard at all, man. Yeah. That guy has difficulty stringing a sentence together at times.
Look, that's what they're going to do. That's why they didn't bring Trey on. They want to replace Trey with Matt Riddle. That's the new Rascals in WWE.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
It would be, actually. Do you think they'll still be called the Rascals? Do you think that's...
Or
do you think,
well, I don't know if that name is exclusive to Impact, or,
I believe they've had it on...
It's like their own moniker, you know?
I think they've had it before, you know. I think, like, Dez and Wentz, like, create a lot of buzz in places like PWG before they all went to Impact, so I'm sure it's... I think the thing with WWE is like sometimes WWE likes to like give you new names when you come in, so they can like trademark them.
The WWE might make that decision for them.
Yeah, sometimes WWE likes to own certain names and like brand them, so it depends whether or not WWE wants to, because WWE will end up probably trademarking the name if they go with it.
Calling them something stupid.
Mm-hmm. Also, given, well, it's a shame that Trey is not in there, because I would like to see him and NXT maybe mix it up in the cruiserweight division. But then again, Dez and Wentz can probably, you know, because like, I think Dez showed up in Impact for a while before the rest of the Rascals got there, and he was mixing up in the X division. So either of them like mixing up with the cruiserweights, I would enjoy to see that.
That'd be cool. Definitely, because I mean, I do agree, NXT does have a great crop of cruiserweight wrestlers, and Dez, well, I think both of the Rascals are fantastic on their own as well as the team, you know what I mean? I mean, Dez and Wentz both really hold their own in the ring.
Yeah, well, for me, like, Wentz is like the one who I most associate as a tag wrestler, because I've seen the least of him as a singles guy, as opposed to Dez and Trey. Because and also the reason I was so surprised it was just two of them is like they all left together. So I think they would end up in the same place when they all left.
Yeah,
but,
you think?
You know, I think it's still early, you know. So we'll maybe hear about Trey. Maybe he'll show up at WWE at some point with the Rascals. But you know,
he might end up back in Impact again. Who knows?
I don't think they would have the send off just to bring like one of them back. I don't know, it's like, I'm trying to speculate here, but it's no dynamic.
It
is, yeah. But we'll talk about the main story that regarding Impact, and that is regarding Kenny Omega, who recently on the December 2nd episode of AEW, he beat John Moxley for the AEW Championship, with a little bit of help from Don Callis, who has appeared on commentary, talked about, me and Kenny, we go back a long way, because like, in real life, like, Don Callis was a wrestler, and he was trained by Kenny Omega's uncle, the Golden Sheik, and so they've known each other for a long time, and basically what happened is, like, Kenny looked hurt, and John Callis went down to ringside to check on him, and he kind of got in John Moxley's way, so John Moxley kind of shoves him, and Don had a microphone and he dropped it, and then Kenny Omega used that microphone behind the rest back to hit John Moxley with it, and then hit his finisher, the One Winged Angel, and they were all like, oh god, like how could he win like this? And then they all, he and Don Callis, Scarper out there, and like, you'll find out why on this Tuesday on Access TV, Impact Wrestling. And this was like, this was a big deal, I think, whenever, even people who don't really tune into AEW like yourself, Paul, I think you'll know that also this was a big deal, like having Don Callis bringing in someone like Kenny Omega to Impact.
See, it's funny, like, in the same regard that a lot of people tune into Impact because it was associated still with AEW,
mm-hmm.
I would be likely to tune into AEW because Impact have given them the time of day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Impact are on there, good. Yeah, I'll watch it.
I did like that some people were like, oh, but I need to figure out how to watch Impact. Like, well, Don, if you're in the US, Don Callis just told you how you watch Access TV. Are you not listening?
Yeah, and if you're in the UK, Channel 5.
Or Free Sports on Wednesdays.
Or Free Sports. There's many ways to watch Impact.
Or, you know, there's links out there you can watch it, you know, or this week in particular. Impact, actually, after the episode aired on the Tuesday, they then did a replay of it on Twitch, and then they put it on YouTube in its entirety for free. And do you think that maybe the reason that they chose a specific episode to... I was going to say they chose it because this was the go-home for the final resolution, but I think it just happened to coincide the fact it was like a bit of luck that the episode post Kenny winning the title was going to be the episode right before final resolution, so that gave them some eyes right before their next big special.
Yeah.
And obviously this is a big deal of people tuning in, and Kenny did a segment with Don Callis being interviewed by Josh Matthews on this big coach, which I think is meant to cover the fact that this was probably taped separately from everything else that we saw in Impact this week. And also the idea of like, well, Kenny, he's a heel now, he's the champ, and he has to ride in his own coach, which I think suits his character.
I know the name Kenny Omega more than the actual wrestler. I've not seen a lot of him,
mm-hmm.
you know, but from the little snippets I've seen and read, he definitely seems like an interesting dude, you know.
Yeah. And like they mentioned in this promo, the match between him and Chris Jericho from 2018 at the Tokyo Dome, and they mentioned how Tony Khan, the founder of AEW, basically said that without that match there is no AEW, and Don Callis in real life, because he was working with New Japan at the time as a commentator, he said that it was partly him, given that he knew Chris Jericho for years, and he went a long way back with Kenny, that he helped make that match happen. And talk about it. So basically they're now taking credit for AEW being a thing, and they Don Callis then brought up the fact that, you know, oh, and look at everything I've done for Impact Wrestling, and to an extent, well, yes, that's not entirely inaccurate, but also in his heel character, he's basically dismissing Scott D'Amore's contributions.
Yeah, so it's quite good that when you've got a heel, like a potential heel manager,
mm-hmm.
where he'll wrestle, you know what I mean? That combo always works very well, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I hope, because I don't know what how Scott D'Amore and like Don Callis, how they divide their responsibilities in the day-to-day like running of the company, and they've probably got quite a few people who work under them. Like, they've got quite a few agents working behind the scenes. I've heard like Gail Kim, I've heard, is the main like backstage agent working with the Knockouts division.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. There you go, and they've got quite a few. I think like Sabin, before he and the Machine Guns like reunited, he was working backstage as an agent, and there's a few that I can't exactly remember, but like they've got quite a few people working under them. But if like Don Callis going forward, as the rumours are that he may become like the full time like heel manager of Kenny Omega, I think he'll really like Dynamite in AEW, like it's like one day a week, and sometimes he can just pre-tape, because Kenny is not the kind of wrestler, especially as the world champ, that'll be wrestling every single week. And I think also, going into that match with John Moxley, he apparently had an injury that he'd been working through and been putting off like surgery for, so I don't think we'll see him wrestle like for a while, because like AEW's next pay-per-view isn't until February, so I think until he can do a rematch with John Moxley, he won't be wrestling a whole lot, but the main point that I'm basically rambling on about is that I'm hoping we don't lose Don Callis from Impact too much, and that this doesn't end up leading to him leaving the company, because like, depending on how he and Scott D'Amore divide up their responsibilities, you're not sure how much this is going to affect in a positive or negative way losing Don Callis from Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I get your concern, but also in the last couple of months, Don Callis has kind of been a non-entity anyway, and on screen anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And Scott D'Amore has really been more of an on-screen presence in those couple of months as well. So there's every chance that even if Don Callis is more, say, he does become a heel manager for Kenny Omega,
mm-hmm.
and he's on Dynamite a lot more, and on AEW,
mm-hmm.
he could still be taking his responsibilities for Impact, but, you know, Scott D'Amore makes himself more of a presence on screen, maybe does some commentary, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think, like,
there's many things I think Scott D'Amore could be good at on that show, you know?
Yeah, because like, we know we've seen more of Scott D'Amore on TV, where they acknowledged him, his position like, that he has behind the scenes. So basically, they used him as like an authority figure without overly having to push him on TV as they do with most authority figures in wrestling.
Yeah.
And like, I think I think it was around 2019 he left like his full time position as an English language commentator for in New Japan, where he was working mainly alongside likes of Kevin Kelly. Because he had these like, responsibilities with Impact. You know, he was doing commentary with Josh, and also he had his behind-the-scenes stuff. And I think the main reason he probably left commentary was, again, because of his behind-the-scenes responsibilities. So because we haven't seen him a whole lot doesn't mean, obviously, he hasn't obviously been doing a lot for the company. And again, like,
yeah.
part of me worries, like when Paul Heyman left in the last few months of ECW to start his like commentary time with like JR. And then also a few months later, ECW was gone. I know also there was a lot more to that when there was the position of ECW, but like losing Paul Heyman especially was a big thing for ECW, and I don't want, you talk about losing major players, like when in terms of a wrestler leaves, when one of your main like creative guys and one of the guys that's helping run the company leaves, that's a huge blow, which depending on who you've got to help pick up the pieces, will really determine how your company goes going forward.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but also I wouldn't worry too much, because I definitely think everyone behind the scenes at Impact Wrestling, we know we're getting a lot more buzz in the past couple of months than we've had in a long while.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny that fact, you know.
Yeah,
and I think everyone, no matter who it is,
mm-hmm.
behind the scenes at Impact Wrestling, no one is going to let no one's going to let it falter, I don't think, you know?
Yeah, because
they're all, Scott D'Amore and whoever else is working backstage, booking-wise, you know, everything in that regard, everybody's really pushed. I think Impact is going to, I honestly think Impact is just going to keep going up, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I've heard, like, what I've been reading in regards to a partnership, a sort of semi-partnership with AEW at the minute, I've heard rumour and read rumour about the idea of going back to like the territory kind of system. You know, like you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the...
It does give a lift to many companies that maybe don't have that kind of buzz or financial push that, say, companies like WWE have, you know?
Well, that's the thing, like, they've like been doing this thing with AEW and the stuff of like some Impact guys. The main names mentioned were the Good Brothers showing up in AEW, and I think given that they've got ties with Kenny, Cody, and well, not so much Cody, but like with the Bucks, it's originally parts of a Bullet Club. There's obviously that story to potentially tell, and like they talk about how they were meant to originally be part of the first Dynamite, and then like tease teaming up with the Bucks and Kenny, and then turning on them. But they ended up signing new contracts, which ended up didn't save them from release. And they talked about a lot in their podcast about how they regret not showing up and going to AEW when they had the chance. But so there's interest there. Also, AEW's been doing a lot of work with the NWA, more so with the women's division, with like the NWA women's title being defended, and some women from there showing up and likes of Ricky Starks and Eddie Kingston, who are now part of AEW, originally came from NWA. So the idea of like companies like Impact, AEW, the NWA, maybe even MLW, because MLW's recently lost a few people to AEW, but maybe if the MLW work with them, then you can say like, okay, you can still use the likes of Brian Pillman Jr. or people like that, but here's also for one night Hangman Page or whoever it is in that. So like the idea of all these companies.
Plus there's lots of free agent wrestlers at the moment that could potentially go to any company, like I heard like Davey Smith, you know, Davey's boy. He's free, and there was lots of rumors about where he was gonna go, you know. And like you say, Brian Pillman Jr. You've got lots of good potential talent as well, you know.
Like both MLW and AEW have links with AAA. You know, they exchange out, you know, the Kenny Omega is also the AAA like champion. Also I think you got the potential of like working with promotion in Japan, because I think it's Dragon Gate is the Japanese company that MLW have a relationship with, and you got Pac in AEW, who is a former like main champion in Dragon Gate. So the idea of all these companies that aren't under the WWE umbrella kind of almost banding together, kind of almost like you said, forming this like union, maybe this new version, like instead of the territories, with maybe guys going between companies, you know, talent exchanges, people showing up with to defend their belt on another company's TV. I honestly think
that would be a fantastic thing for the wrestling business as a whole, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, so what, you don't want to watch Impact every week, but you'll tune in when if your favorite guy from NWA or AEW shows up, or if you're a guy of hate Impact who doesn't watch NWA, but like Sami Callihan's going to be on this week's NWA, then you'll tune in that week and you can be exposed to whole new like talents. Because talking about the buzz of Impact, like they got a lot of buzz around Slammiversary, and a lot of people tuned into Slammiversary who hadn't really watched Impact in a long time. And that's the thing, some people stayed weekly, but there were quite a few people who didn't stick around long after it. And then there were some people who've been. And then some of them have got their attention kind of captured with Kenny Omega appearing on this week. So it's basically about the idea of Impact basically trying to, again, catch a lot of people who may have originally doubted them and proved them, look, we're not like a small team. We may not be going head to head with WWE like AEW is doing, but we are a viable alternative.
It's the idea, Mo. I think Impact is still trying to shake this notion that, like, all they tried and failed, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People still have a preconceived notion of what Impact is. They still see it as the TNA, the Dixie Carter era, TNA, it faltered, everything went tits up. People still have this preconceived notion and need to shake that idea, you know?
Yeah, definitely, and definitely can do it. I thought, what I did love is the Jordynne Grace, like how really annoyed some people, a lot of people kind of took the bait of like what she said on Twitter, which she kind of joked that she said on Twitter that Impact Wrestling has more Twitter followers than AEW's official Twitter account, and a lot of people kind of jumped on that. Aye, but you've been around for this long, and like, then she then later put up a picture of her doing like the suck it motion, and goes, my response to everybody who I annoyed earlier on Twitter. Honestly, I've said it before, Jordynne Grace, she's my favourite wrestler that I follow on Twitter, honestly.
I just think she's fucking solid, man, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Where is it, like,
she's cool, she's so goddamn powerful. Also so damn small.
She did this like Twitter thread recently, basically calling it different women from AEW, and then she said to Britt Baker, who's also like in real life is also a dentist outside of wrestling, and she's kind of incorporated that into her gimmick, but she said, hey, Britt Baker, can you fix my teeth? Then a separate tweet went, no, seriously, like my plan doesn't cover dental. Can you please help me? like the Bucks, Young Bucks have tweeted out a picture of themselves recently as their old like Generation Me characters from like back in the day, and teasing that they're going to get involved. And if this leads to like another Motosari Machine Guns match against the Bucks, then I'm all for it, because like Alex Shelley came back, he was in like Saban's corner, but I don't know how he is like health wise, because I don't know if he's cleared, because Gallows is still going to be out for a few weeks, which is why the titles aren't on the line at Resolution. And also Heath Slater has recently said that he's not going to be back until January.
Yeah, Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and he also revealed that he was meant to win that Call Your Shot gauntlet. And, like, he got injured within, like, a few moves. And he said, I did a neckbreaker and I felt like someone stabbed me in the back. Like, the pain was that bad. And he said, basically, they had to improvise. And he said, we were lucky that Rhino was still there because, like, we just changed it to Rhino winning because it basically achieved the same result.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because, like, the story, like, it felt like such a good payoff and then it would lead to them getting a title shot. And, you know, you feel bad for them. But again, hopefully around January time, whoever the tag champs are, it'll probably be the good of us. But I'd like to see, like, Keith get a major opportunity because, like, he deserves it after everything that's happened.
Yeah. If Drew's allowed to have a title and Jinder's allowed to have a title, he needs to have a title.
I know I was talking about this on a podcast recently. Like, they were talking about the prophecy. Eventually, one day, Keith will return and he will be WWE champion. It happened with Drew. It happened with Jinder.
That would be so cool.
It would be.
DMV music.
You know who I want to pop up on AEW one week? Sami Callihan. Like,
yes.
Especially when he's like whole hacker thing, like he hacks in AEW and then just shows up. And also, like, because he got a really good promo on this week's Impact, talking about everything he'd done for Impact since he arrived, and talked about how, like, the Eddie Edwards incident actually got a lot of eyes on Impact, and he said that it made Eddie Edwards relevant. And also, given that his nickname is The Draw, like, I'd love it if, like, he appeared on AEW and then, like, you've got people out there like a Brian Alvarez who always share, like, oh, here's what AEW did in the ratings, here's what NXT did, and so who between the two won this week. And say Sami Callihan appears on AEW one week and then it comes out that AEW won in the ratings that week, you can have him then go out with, well, you're welcome, hashtag The Draw, and maybe have him take credit for it.
See, you know Sami's hacker character?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love him to turn up on fucking whatever fucking one of the shows what the hell is that stupid faction that's on Raw? That's it.
Retribution.
I'd love him to show up on Raw and kick the shit out of them. Steal my gimmick and do it badly, you dicks.
You got. Because, like, I think you got people like Eddie Kingston on an AEW who's, I think he's a very similar style of wrestler to Sammy. I'd like to see the two wrestle, like, Sammy versus John Moxley. They go back a long way in the indies. They teamed up in places like CZW and that, so there's a lot of history between those two.
Yeah.
Going back to Kenny, he was talking in the promo, like, he's got this new belt collector thing where he says, like, I'm the AAA champion, I'm the AEW champion, and he compares it to comic books, and he calls the AEW belt the Action Comics number one of wrestling belts, and, like, being that that's his first edition appearance of Superman, and he said, maybe I'll go after the Impact belt, and I think he compared the Impact belt to, like, I think it's Adventure Comics, the one that basically the comic book that Spider-Man first appears in, so he said, like, how it's valuable, but not as valuable as mine, but he still wants it. And, like, you had that thing with Rich Swann, where Rich Swann couldn't get in the parking lot because of Kenny's bus. And,
yeah.
And, like, apparently, originally it was said that, well, Kenny's only appearing, it's a one-off because it's a favourite of Don Callis, but then Dave Meltzer would report today that that apparently Kenny's actually going to be on next week's Impact, the one after Final Resolution. And also, he's apparently going to headline at least one Impact pay-per-view in the near future. He didn't say what pay-per-view or when, but apparently it's going to happen at some point that Kenny Omega will be featuring the main event of a pay-per-view. So could we see some sort of title v title situation, AEW belt versus Impact belt?
That'd be so bitching.
Because, like, you'd hope to do that, because, like, otherwise otherwise there'd be no reason to do that segment with Rich and make him look even lesser than he already feels right now as Impact Champ, because we talked about that. And honestly, I would like to hold off on this whole Impact Champ AEW Champ until after Moose wins the belt, because I'm kind of more interested in a Moose v Kenny Omega match than a Rich one Kenny Omega match.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about this Kenny Omega thing. I hope that what this is a case of, like, companies working together with a bit of an exchange of talent. Like, we up here, like you said, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, kind of thing, because the last thing I want is a storyline where, like, say, Impact tries to invade AEW, because Impact's going to eventually lose that, and it's not going to do them any favours in the eyes of, like, your hardcore AEW fans. Whereas if they just keep it how they're doing it now with this exchange, then
you don't want either company to look weak in the exchange, you know?
Yeah, because, like, you, I think, like, because, like, a lot of people were like, what did AEW get out of this in terms of, because it does a lot more for Impact, but then you got, and you said you can get people like a Sami Callihan or the North or the Good Brothers or the Machine Guns appearing on AEW, and AEW can also get some pointers on how to pick a women's division, you know?
And you're forgetting another team that are starting to get a bit of buzz at the minute.
Who's that?
Triple XL.
Oh yeah, you're forgetting about Triple XL.
Well, Larry D and Big AC.
You know, they got a fair amount of like big guys in AEW. So I want to see like bits of Moose in that, mixing up with some of them. Like, you got Lance Archer over there, you got Luchasaurus. You know, I think you talk about David Weissman Jr., where do you think he's gonna end up? Impact or AEW, which do you think is more likely?
Where was he?
He was originally in like MLW, and like when MLW recently started doing tapings again, and their first show back, he was challenging for the world title, because obviously before they stopped tapings due to the pandemic, he was the number one contender, and I actually thought he was going to win the title, and then he given that he's leaving, he clearly didn't, and like, so I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, Lance Archer's in AEW, so and they used to be partners in Japan, so there's a link there maybe if they want to explore it.
But I definitely think it'd be some kind of coup if Impact got him. I think he'd be a really good acquisition for the company.
Yeah, because like,
it was like him, you know.
Yeah.
I remember him from back. I know it's quite a while ago now, but the Hart Dynasty.
Him and Big Tyson Kidd.
And I thought they were a good team. The only negative to that team I thought was Natalya.
They were one of the few proper teams in 2010, because like, that period was not a good period for tag teams in WWE.
Hell no.
I mean, you had Cody and Drew randomly thrown together and won the tag belts, and then you did nothing with them. Like, the same night they finally got their name, they gave themselves a name after being together 2 months, they called themselves the Dashing Ones, and then the same night they broke up.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, so, again, like I said, there's a lot to go about with this, and like, the benefit for Impact has already been seen, because like, they ended up with a 0.08 rating on TV, which is around 221,000 viewers, which is actually a 33% increase apparently from last week, which was 166,000. So up from 166,000 to 221,000 in the space of a week. Mainly, obviously, because of Kenny Omega, who they, I think it's wise they put him at the end of the show to keep people around.
Yeah. And much like its anniversary when they got EC3 right then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that big like, cliffhanger to say, like, oh, what's the EC3's here? What's he going to do? Because, like, it was a shock to see him there, but it didn't also tell you anything. You had to tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, it kept you on the edge of your seat.
Sorry.
A lot of interesting shit going on at the minute, let's just say that.
Also on Twitch, their audience, like, I think it was almost like triple originally what it usually is, because their peak viewers on Twitch was around 50,686, which apparently it's usually around the 2,000, 3,000 mark, so it's a hell of an increase there. And apparently the YouTube clip showing the Don Callis Kenny Omega interview with Josh Matthews, right now, I just checked it before we started recording, it's around 360 odd thousand like views on YouTube.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So like, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you. A sacrifice. Sorry.
They are making an impact.
They are.
Ha
ha. I see what you did there. Punmanship at its finest.
But no, I think we have definitely. It's a good bit of chat and information into our shorter show, you know.
Yeah, but this is where we'll briefly do like our final resolution, like preview. We'll basically just look at the matches, give like a brief thought or two, and then basically say who do you think is going to win. Because I think for the most part, you can tell who's going to win. Not in a bad way, like, oh, it's too predictable, but like I think it's like clear who should win, and like case that like you're happy to see that person win anyway.
For the most part.
So we'll go in a. We'll go start from like the lower card matches and work up to the world title match. We have a very interesting match here. We have Hernandez and Falaba in a match that basically the winner will finally get that big like wad of cash. And we've got Kiera Hogan as special guest referee and Tasha Steelz as the guest ring announcer because they recently stole the wad of cash from Falaba.
I have watched the story, and to be honest with you, if I'm going to pick a winner because I have to, I'll pick Hernandez.
Yeah, I'd like it to be Falaba, but I think it's going to be Hernandez.
Yeah, couldn't give a rat's ass, to be honest with you.
You know, like, I'm pretty sure this whole thing with the water guys, it started between Rhino and Hernandez over arm wrestling, and that was a few weeks before Slammiversary. So this is technically the longest running storyline. Maybe not just an Impact, but maybe in all of wrestling at the moment.
Yeah, but it's a crap story.
It went from like feuding over arm wrestling money to he's trying to steal it because he was out of work, and then Falaba steals it to give it as money for Johnny Bravo's wedding, but then becomes obsessed with it, like Gollum in the ring, and then Tasha steals and Kiera Hogan trick him into giving the money. And something I meant to talk about in our Bound for Glory review is that Hernandez grabs the money and throws it out the ring, and Falaba eliminates himself from the Collier Shot Gauntlet because he's more concerned about the cash. Which I thought was a funny moment.
Apart from this more match, what's the next one we're going
to... This one kind of feels like a stopgap for Eddie Edwards, because like, right now it seems like he and Sammy are renewing hostilities, but for now, he's helping Alicia in an intergender tag match against Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K.
God, I hope that Caleb with a K and Tennille Dashwood lose, because I hate them.
Yeah, I think it's basically a case of like Tennille wrestles like mostly with Alicia, and then eventually Caleb gets forced in there with Eddie Edwards, and he doesn't want to, and then just get quickly destroyed by Eddie.
Yeah.
You know what, apparently, like, according to all rumors I've read, I think they've confirmed that Caleb with a K is actually suicide.
Yeah,
so I have an idea for a story. I may do this with my draft roster at some point. We're gonna do that at some point in the new year. We should do some sort of Peter Parker Spider-Man type of scenario, because like Peter Parker was Spider-Man, but his day job was taking pictures of Spider-Man for a newspaper. And I like the idea of like Caleb with a K is the only person who can get photos of suicide, and this leads to the idea of people suspecting, wait, is Caleb secretly suicide?
That'd be quite good.
I'd like to see that.
All about that fucking money.
I think it's just the nerd in me that wants to see that storyline, but we'll move on. We've got Eric Young with his new heavy Joe Doring in his corner, taking on Rhino, obviously, to get revenge for Eric Young beating up people, especially Heath. I think they've written Heath out with this attack until he can get medically cleared.
I think Eric Young will win.
Yeah, I think obviously with Joe Doran being the X Factor on the outside, obviously that's leading to I think this is going to keep going. Maybe when Heath comes back, they'll have a tag match and they can get some redemption there, or maybe. You think Joe Doran and Eric Young are taking the place of Ace Austin and Buddy Madman Fulton and the smaller guy, big guy, like heel tag team? Because again, where the fuck are they two?
Holding the titles in another company just now, as far as I know.
I miss Ace Austin. I miss him.
I miss him too.
I kind of miss Fulton, but not as much.
I miss him for other reasons. I think he's cute, yeah.
I know you do. But yeah, I think
he's really good in ring as well, you know?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure that's secondary in your mind, but
he he was kind of getting elevated and then just ultimately got dropped again.
Mm-hmm.
That pissed me off something royal.
I mean, it's weird, he was in the X Division title scene as the champion, he was in the world title scene and the tag team scene all in the space of a year, which is impressive. So he was always featured in like prominent matches.
Yeah. And then it just kind of started going like him and Madman kept picking up losses and then nothing.
But like, I definitely think Eric Young and Joe Dorn are going to maybe push them in the tag team scene at some point, because, you know, as I said, Joe Dorn is quite successful in Japan and he's been like tag champ over there, he's won tag tournaments over there, so, you know, he's got the background in that. And Eric Young, you know, well, Eric Young can make well, pretty much anything work at the minute.
Yeah, well, with all his faces that Joe Dorn fills, he looks like Goofy for Scary Movie.
And I think that's the best time to move on to the Knockouts title match with Deonna Purrazzo with Kimberly in her corner taking on Rosemary with Taya Valkyrie in her corner. And obviously this is stemming from the first round of the Knockouts tag title tournament where Purrazzo and Lee lost to Rosemary and Valkyrie. And in a quite an entertaining backstage segment, I thought, with Scott D'Amore talking about the idea that, like, I've got, like, the reason we lost is, like, I've got too many things on my mind, I've got too many plates spinning, I've got to worry about the tag tournament, I've got to worry about training this title, I've got to worry about Su Young. And then Scott was like, well, you guys took out Su Young, you're out of the tag tournament, so that's off your plate, so all you've got left to do is defend this title, which you're going to do against Rosemary.
I think Rosemary's going to win.
You think?
I think Rosemary's going to win, and I think it's going to be due to Su Young. That's what I think.
I think Rosemary and Ty need to really focus on the Knockouts tag title scene, because even if they don't become the first champs, eventually I think they will hold on to the belts, so that's why I'm going with Deonna. But like, my second reason for that is if Rosemary wins, that'll mean the last 2 or 3 months there've been some real hot potatoing with the Knockouts title.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't also win the Knockouts tag title.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not against, like, when you have a feud where you trade belts back and forth and that, I feel like it makes sense, but, like, it will be from, like, Bound for Glory from to Su Young and then at a turning point back to Dion and then here to Rosemary. I just think it's better off keeping it on Dionna for now.
Well, I suppose we agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, I mean, we're just giving opinions here. It's not an official, like, predictions thing here.
And
this is a weird idea. This is a man fighting for his freedom here. We have Larry D, the main suspect in the Johnny Bravo case, who claims he's being set up, taking on Tommy Dreamer. Basically, if Tommy Dreamer wins, Larry D agrees he'll go to jail for the attempted murder of Johnny Bravo. If Larry D wins, he gets to walk free. And it's an old-school rules match, which basically just means it's no DQ, which probably means AC Romero's going to get involved.
Larry D will win.
I mean, part of me would like to see Tommy Dreamer win, mainly for the idea of, like, when they're, like say they're going to have a big courtroom, like, vignette where they go to sentence Larry D, when someone bursts in with, like, dramatic entrance, and they're like, wait, there is new evidence.
No, but I think he'll win.
Yeah, I think D will win, and then obviously they're like, maybe he'll present some evidence to show that he was framed, and then they'll keep the investigation going. Because, like I said, the real payoff to the storyline needs to be at Hard to Kill.
Yeah.
I'll say, though, this is one of the things I love about Impact, just how, like, they lead into, like, some silly stuff like this case, and, like, they had Wrestle House before that.
Wrestle House was cool, man.
It was cool, and it was funny, and, like, I'm just saying, I love that kind of stuff in Impact. But next up, we have the defeat Rohit challenge. I mean, shouldn't he? I don't think he's had his been Crazy Steve beat him a few weeks ago. I don't think Crazy Steve's got his title shot yet, so maybe this should be Rohit versus Crazy Steve.
And I think Crazy Steve should win it.
Yeah, but, like, at the moment, it's just Rohit versus to be determined, because it's an open challenge kind of thing.
Rohit versus James Storm.
I mean, it's all about No Limits, so, you know, he could be James Storm, you know, and
yeah.
I still maintain the idea that that somehow TJP, and under some sort of mask, is going to try and challenge for, or given that he recently beat TJP on Impact, maybe Brian Myers will answer.
Johnny Swinger.
I mean, he's got all the momentum in the world. He just beat one of the Demons and escaped Wrestler's Court.
Johnny Swinger could win it, you never know.
But I honestly, I can't really give much prediction for this because I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, so just say to be determined. There you go.
Next up, we have Havoc and Nevaeh against one of the newer tag teams, the Sea Stars, who went out in the first round of the tag tournament. I think they went out to Steels and Hogan.
Yeah.
I think it's just a win for Havoc and Nevaeh because obviously they need to keep the momentum going in this tag tournament. Next up we have Ethan. Next up we have Ethan Page versus Carl Anderson. Obviously, Page needs to win this in order for the North to get another title shot. I'm getting scared, Paul. You know, they seem to be teasing the idea of the North falling apart, and I don't want them to.
No, Ethan Page will win.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I mean,
Ethan Page will win, they'll get their shot, and then they'll take the belts after the two dumbass, bald bitches.
Yeah, I think this screams the idea, because they already had Ethan Page lose to Swoggle. I think this screams the idea, well, Gallows is out, we need something to fill time, and so they just put this match together.
Gallows out, we need something to fill time. Let the North just beat the piss out of that hour of you.
You see, part of me wants Anderson to team with Swoggle against the North, have Swoggle fill in for Gallows.
I just want the Good Brothers to go the fuck away.
Well, at some point they'll go to AEW. Well, briefly, but you know.
Well, they can go ruin that company.
We'll move on. Our main event is Rich Swann versus Crispy. You know, I like to say that I mentioned this as a possibility. I'd like to see this at Fire Wrestling just as part of an Impact special, and doesn't have to be our main event, just to give Crispy some this help elevate Crispy a little bit. And you know, I wouldn't say I told you so again, but you know,
yeah,
you know, I was right about Sue Young at Bound for Glory. What?
Do you think Rich
One's
going to retain?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think Rich One's going to retain, but I do think it's a great opportunity for Chris Bay being in this position. You know, he's been...
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity for Chris Bay.
He's had him and...
And I think it's going to be a hell of a match between the both of them.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a better match than the Callahan match that Swan had at Turning Point. I think this is going to be more akin to something you'd see in the X Division. I think they're more evenly matched. You know, this is a big day for Chris Bay because on the same day is when the Super J Cup in New Japan is happening, and Chris Bay is in that representing Impact. And you know, I don't think he's going to win that tournament, but I think he's going to get to at least the semis, the single elimination tournament. And so I think everything's really going Chris Bay's way at the moment.
No, definitely, and he's fantastic in the ring, Chris Bay.
Yeah, it's great that he's getting all these opportunities both in Impact and outside it, and I think he's still 24 or something, he's very young still.
Jammy
prick. I know. I mean, I'm the same age as Chris Bay, and I'm in nowhere near the shape he's in, which makes me sad.
That's because you don't practice, man.
I can't be asked. I am too lazy.
See, that's why you don't look like this.
Anyway, I do think this will be maybe they'll set up Rich Swann's next match, maybe with Moose at Hard to Kill after this, but it's a great opportunity for Bay. You know, he's won the X Division title this year very early on, and then he's getting mixing up with the main eventers. Yeah. So it definitely means that Impact see Chris Bay is a future star of the company, and like I said to you, at some point in the next couple of years, he will be world champion.
I sure hope so.
I do too. But that is the card for Final Resolution. It's a decent enough card, you know, final show of the year. Like I said, it's not really a pay-per-view, it's a more of an Impact Plus special. But
yeah,
some feuds actually continue, and some kind of just randomly throwing together matches, but they'll still be entertaining, and like, I'm not too thrilled about the intergender tag match, because like Eddie Edwards is starting to renew hostilities with Callahan, and I'd rather see that happen, but maybe they're just saving that for her to kill.
Or they just want to build it up a bit more.
Yeah, maybe. And like, apparently Callahan said that Ken Shamrock is currently suspended, so obviously maybe this is like giving Callahan something to do while he's waiting for Shamrock. Do you think maybe they're covering up for Shamrock? Maybe he couldn't come to the tapings, or maybe he's just injured, or do you think they're just...
There's a lot of questions, a lot of possibilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it'll work itself out, because you know him and Edwards have great chemistry in the ring.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's weird that Shamrock is suddenly gone after he came back just recently, and maybe they're just covering up, maybe they're trying to, like, the idea of him being like the world's most dangerous man, and like the idea he got out of control that he had to be suspended. You never know, but...
Never know.
You know, there's a wee quick update about Impact Wrestling and everything that's going on. It's a very interesting time. There's a lot of like possibilities, and like I said, we'll be back with our next Impact-related episode in early January. We'll talk everything that happened here at the show, everything, any other developments with Kenny Omega, and we'll probably do another say like preview like this for Hard to Kill when we know what the card for that is. But
yep.
In the weeks coming up to Christmas, we're going to be bringing you a couple of Christmas-related shows. You know, we've got Seasons Beatings, the subtitle of the 5th In Your House show. We're going to eventually bring you that, and we've got an episode of Frasier where we're going to basically rank our favourite episodes of the Christmas special. We're going to go from our least favourite to our most favourite. I'm sure we'll differ in how we'd rank each one, and I'm sure that'll lead to quite a bit of debate, and like, I'm wrong. No, screw you, you're wrong. But I look forward to that.
Me too.
And I've not really much else. But all of you enjoyed kind of getting to talk about this Impact, even if it's just this, like, for very briefly.
I have indeed, yes. Been very, very good, and I'm looking forward to final resolution. Looking forward to actually watching this week's Impact at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a great deal of story that can happen between both Impact and AEW, so long may the idea of companies working together continue.
Yeah, that's much easier for you to watch Impact. Like I said, this week it's on YouTube in its entirety. Yeah.
Other than that, we're quite good.
Yeah, I think so too, and we hope you enjoyed this little update about Impact Wrestling. Hope you tune in to Impact going forward and check out Hard to Kill. If you were on the fence about checking out Impact Wrestling but you heard about Kenny Omega coming in, hopefully we've convinced you as to why you should be checking out Impact Wrestling, and we hope you stick around for some of our usual content going forward, but it's got a Christmassy theme to it. You know, we've got In Your House, which took place in December, and we're talking about Frasier, but the Christmas one, so it's still our same content, but with a little bit of a Christmassy feel to it.
Yeah.
If you want more of that Christmassy feel, you can go back in our back catalogue, because last year, we did a review of Muppet's Christmas Carol, which we agreed is the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Oh yes, it is.
And you can join our back
catalogue. Without any question.
And if you check in our back gallery, you can check out other episodes where we talk about Impact Wrestling. We did our little fantasy draft where we divided the rosters, and episodes where Paul's not joking. You've got the other editions of our In Your Gas series, and the first episode of our From the Vault series where we looked at SummerSlam 1982, and we'll be doing other reviews going forward of classic pay-per-views. We've got all of the episodes where we covered Frasier. We're midway through season 5 now, and so much more. What we follow us on Twitter at SBRambling and facebook.com/ramblingpodcast. I think that's all the plugs, and we'll just say thank you for tuning in, and goodbye.
Yeah, see you people. Yeah, hear the bell.